Well, the push to change the date of Australia Day has been gaining momentum, but still the two major parties argue the date should stay, despite the issues it raises for many Indigenous Australians. Today, the Victorian Coalition Opposition announced plans to scrap cross-curriculum priorities given to Indigenous history, Asian engagement and sustainability, and place a greater emphasis on, and I quote, the principles of Western Enlightenment, if it wins the November state election. Ken White is the Minister for Aged Care and Indigenous Health and the first Indigenous frontbencher in a federal government. I spoke to him a little earlier. Ken White, welcome to RN Drive.
It's great to be with you, Patricia.
Australia Day is this Friday, and the government's position is to keep our National Day on the 26th, and the opposition agrees. This discussion happens every year because many in the Indigenous community continue to feel hurt and ostracised by the day and the date. How do you fix that?
I see. I've often pondered how we fix this, and when I responded to an interview recently, to me it seemed logical that when we become a republic, we move the date then. But we've got to continue to have the discussions, because if we think of the history of Australia Day, it wasn't until about 1938 that the states agreed to a national day of consideration. And then I was surprised to turn my mind back that 1994 seemed to be the point that we truly celebrated Australia Day on the 26th, as opposed to a long weekend. And so the emphasis since 94 has certainly been around recognising all of the elements that are important to us. But the other thing I'll say, Patricia, is when I consider comments made about the 26th, I can relate to the fact that there are families whose generational lines finished with settlement, that the deaths that occurred, the loss of life, meant that in some cases families had no descendants, or communities were impacted heavily in what became the expansion of a colony across Australia. And so therefore anger is deep. But there is no sense dwelling on that anger, but to look at ways of moving forward.
Tony Abbott, the former Prime Minister, has contributed to this debate this week and says that Australia and Indigenous Australians are better off because of European settlement. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think that for Indigenous Australians, those immediately affected at the time, and it wasn't only through deaths caused by violent behaviour, the frontier wars, but certainly the number of deaths that occurred because of exposure to diseases that communities had never had. So on that basis, you really can't argue that in the first instance that premise would hold true. But over time, the collective wisdom of people who settled here, and it wasn't just the British, it was many other nations. If we think of the convicts, a lot of those were Irish, plus other nationalities. But they contributed to developing Australia as we now know it. But the contribution by Aboriginal inventors such as David Yunupin from South Australia was equally significant. But look, we've come a long way. There is a need for a debate, but I wouldn't encourage shifting the date at this point. I think that we have to mature the discussion and certainly look at what it is that we also have to address that is unresolved.
Linda Burney has suggested a separate public holiday to celebrate and lift up First Australians. Is that something you'd get behind?
Look, I once had a discussion with a former Prime Minister about creating a public holiday in NAIDOC Week that recognised Indigenous Australians, their place, and for the nation to celebrate the Indigenous nations that prevailed long before 1788, but to move forward in celebrating what we have and the fact that as a country we have the oldest living culture.
You said you had a conversation with a former Prime Minister. Would his initials be TA?
Yes, it was.
TA, Tony Abbott. So you raised it with him. Is it something you'll keep raising? Perhaps, you know, we have another Prime Minister now, Malcolm Turnbull, your boss. Is it something that you want to be arguing inside your own party?
No, I think part of it now for me is looking at the debate around acknowledging that we have a history, acknowledging the duality of histories, but then looking at a future where I want to see discussion resolve itself in terms of Australia as a republic. And then when we make that decision eventually, and we do become a republic, that having that day as our national day of independence, but a national day of celebration. Because I don't want to detract from what has been become a way of celebrating the uniqueness of all of us in this nation. And Australia Day does that. And I see people within my own community and other Indigenous communities being part of Australia Day and enjoying mateship, having fun, and being involved in events.
You've probably heard, but the Indigenous Affairs Minister said somewhat controversially that he doesn't have this issue raised with him by Indigenous Australians. Is that how you see it? Because I hear a lot of Indigenous Australians raising the date of Australia Day.
Well, I can say they've certainly raised it with me over a period of time, partly because I come from within their community, and my job and my role in times prior to being in Parliament certainly took me across this nation. And I know that it's likely that the people who've spoken with Minister Scullion have raised issues of concern to them, whether they've covered the issue of Australia Day is not the priority of their thinking.
But you'd have to be in a vacuum funding. Not to have had it raised with you, though.
Look, technology and social media and media cover it all the time. Every year we have the same debate. So there would be a view that prevails. But sometimes in these roles, you don't always absorb all the information because you're focused on particular matters. And look, people who've had discussions with Minister Scullion on a range of other things have focused on that because they see those as priorities.
So given there is so much hurt, would you caution people to think about the words they say? Because, you know, there is this view that Indigenous Australians should just accept this date. But do we have an obligation as a country to also accept that Indigenous Australians see this date as so loaded in terms of their historical experience?
And if we are a mature nation, then we have to have those discussions because it is the reality of history. Even when we start to dig and search through records now, we are finding evidence of frontier wars. People like to deny it and deny that it existed. The issue of racism prevails. We see some of the injustices that occur, like Miss Jew in Western Australia with her journey from a prison to a hospital and then ultimately dying because she was denied a due process of ultimate care. So in the minds and the experiences of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, there are many events that are painful, that are contemporary, and it hurts when that history is not acknowledged or there is sometimes, and I'll use an expression, there is dribble that comes out of the mouths of some people that is inappropriate and shows that they are not prepared to acknowledge the true history of this nation. And history books are littered with events and stories of what has happened to Indigenous Australians across this nation. And we can't reconcile from that. To say otherwise and to put one view only is not appropriate, and that's what causes some of the frustration and anger.
Before I move on to your, you know, substantive portfolio as well, just a final question on something that's being debated very hotly in Victoria today, and that's on curriculum reform being proposed by the opposition, which is the Liberal opposition, and they want to take sort of in the cross-disciplinary areas, the Indigenous history, for instance, out. They still want it to be taught, but not across in these areas. They want it to be more focused. Would that be the wrong thing to do?
Look, I think any curriculum should reflect the history of a country. And it is appropriate that we teach future generations the true history of this country. If we are to reconcile, if we are to be at peace and not have the divisions that I now see, and you only have to look at social media to see some of the divisive comments, that's not what we want as a country. What we want is a society that enjoys all of the benefits that are derived from the things that we collectively do, the benefits derived from a way in which a society is cohesive and looks to a future that provides better opportunities for children from all sections, from those who were the early settlers to those who came across the seas to join the First Nations people. And that whole combination is absolutely critical. But simple things like local languages and place names would make an incredible difference, because some of the places that we have in our great nation had Aboriginal names. And it's good to see some state governments and local governments putting two names and acknowledging both the historical context of First Nations people, but equally that of the settling of this nation of ours.
If you're just tuning in, my guest is Ken White. He's the Minister for Indigenous Health and the Minister for Aged Care. Just on something you've been working on today, driverless vehicles is something, you know, we hear a lot about. We've discussed it a lot on RN Drive. But we don't often hear about it in aged care facilities, but they were on show today at your announcement. How do they work? What would they look like in our aged care facilities?
I think they're great. The one I rode in was enjoyable, because as we become older, our mobility becomes problematic. And by having a driverless vehicle programmed to all of the units within that aged care facility, and you can download the app, put in a request to be picked up at a certain time, and the driverless vehicle comes to you, you can get on board with your Zimmer frame or your walking stick and then go and join others within the hall or within their local cafe. So you remain connected with others and you enjoy the social strength of people living within that facility. And I just think it's a great way of providing a combination of social connectedness with technology. And if it works constructively and enables companionship rather than loneliness, then it's a great initiative.
The government predicts 1 million aged care workers will be needed by 2050. Where are they going to come from? How are you going to incentivise people to enter this sector? Because this is like a demographic time bomb.
Well, that's why I have appointed John Pelaez to head a task force to look at workforce. But the workforce is not just on carers. It is the whole spectrum of people who work within an aged care facility. But also looking at how do we encourage young people to take an opportunity to step into aged care, even if it's only for 3-4 years, of getting a pathway that leads to a job. And then they can either choose to remain there or take an opportunity to work in another area of interest. But it's a point at which they can enjoy a journey through aged care. I met with John last week, and he and I had dinner together. And we talked about some of the thinking that's evolving from the consultations. And people have been very receptive in putting forward suggestions, some of the thoughts and the ways in which we can encourage people to go into aged care. But let me say this, Patricia, we've also have a population demographic that looks like a coffin. The bottom end is a reduced population that's going to have to care for the bulging baby boomers. And that in itself will be a challenge. And that's why we're encouraging, the Turnbull government is encouraging people to stay at home longer and have the home care packages.
I want to thank you, Ken White, for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. First time in 2018. Let's do it again.
Thank you very much, Patricia.